in bringing up our teacher for today, my awesome husband, Jeffrey Moore.
Thank you, sweetie. You can be seated. Thank you very much. The title of my teaching is Look Into the Word. We heard some songs. I wasn't going to say all this, but we heard some songs today that I thought were significant. How can you not see God in every little thing? I first heard that song at the end of a movie. And the movie was on PureFlix. If you guys want to watch movies that are wholesome, that often will have people who are Christians who pray in the movie and talk about walking with God, PureFlix has them. You can get it online. We get it through Roku. We also heard a song called Thy Word. God's Word is very, very important. And then Look Into the Word by fellow that I haven't seen in a long time, Dean Ellenwood. If you want to know what's going on in the world, you can listen to the news and people. If you want to understand what's going on in the world, you need to look into the Word. Give you some examples. Just this past week, Trump went out to Saudi Arabia, Qatar, apparently that's how they pronounce it, and United Arab Emirates. When he was going to Saudi Arabia, 6 fighter jets came out to meet him, and they escorted him to the airport. And some of the people on the airplane were going, "Fighter jets, what's going on?" Then when he went to Qatar, there were 8. Escorted him to the airport. United Arab Emirates, fighter jets, escorting him to the airport. Why did they do that? They didn't shoot him down. They didn't try to shoot him down. Why did they do that? Well, take your Bibles and turn to Luke 15. Okay, and now I really want you to take your Bibles. You notice I don't have verses up here, okay? I want you to take your Bibles and turn to these verses because I want you to see it printed in the Word. Okay? When you read it and hear it, it registers in your brain in 2 different places, so you remember it better. The Word of God in the book does you no good. The Word of God between your ears is what you need when the adversary comes at you. Okay? So, Luke, chapter 15, verse 20. This is talking about the parable of the forgiving father, is a better name for it. The son decided, "Hey, Dad, give me my inheritance. Divide it up now." And he went off into a foreign country, and he squandered it. The word says, on riotous living. Yeah, he squandered it. And then he came back. And his father, well, we'll read in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Why did he do that? Well, he was happy to see his son home, but that was also a Middle Eastern custom. In the Middle East, if somebody important is coming to see you, you don't stay in your house and wait for them to come up and ring your doorbell. You take your friends and your family and you go out and you meet them and you escort them in. That's what the jets were doing with Air Force One, escorting them in. That was a huge honor. That was those countries saying, this is an important person. This is a special person. We're escorting him in. Let's look at it in another place, 1 Thessalonians 4. and verse 16. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." We're to go meet the Lord in the air. Okay. Some people say, well, that's because we're going to the Bema, get judgment. Well, yes, partly. It's different for the people of Israel. Look in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, Jesus is talking, or we're talking about Jesus talking. It says, "When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Does that sound like what we're going to experience in the gathering together? Say no. Because we're going to go up into heaven and meet him. But he's talking here, in Acts, he's talking about men of Galilee. Well, who are the men of Galilee? Those would be Israel, Judeans. So Israel, who is not born again, because they're Old Testament and Gospel period, Israel is going to see Jesus come in the clouds. But we, who are born again, are going to be in the gathering together. We're going to go up and meet him in the air. Well, who's going to be with him when he comes in the clouds? We are. We're going to go out and meet him and escort him back to the earth. Revelation 1:7 talks about this also. Revelation 1, verse 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." He's going to come in the clouds. Well, we're going to come with him, because we're going to go out and meet him. We're going to escort him in. That's what was happening when Trump went to the Middle East. They honored him with that. Matter of fact, he got to the one place, I think it was the United Arab Emirates, and he got the highest honor that that country could give because they respected him, because they honored him. That's what this is all about. So, okay, you want to understand what's happening in the world? The jets come up, and you don't have to be afraid because it's the Middle Eastern custom of escorting an honored person home. Speaking of Middle East, we've had a lot of problems with Palestine or the Palestinians in Gaza. The word Palestine, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 while you're listening. The word Palestine ultimately derives from the ancient Greek name Philistia, which referred to the coastal region the Palestinians inhabited. That was Gaza, what we call today Gaza. Matter of fact, in ancient times, it was also called Gaza. Matter of fact, there's a Gaza city in that area that is older than King David. Now, you remember the Philistines. How do I get out of there? The Philistines were the ones that harassed David. The Philistines gave Israel quite a problem. You know, Israel was supposed to drive out the inhabitants. Okay, how did the Philistines get there? Well, God gave the land to Abraham. And then Isaac came along, and then Jacob came along, and his 12 sons, and then Joseph was sold into Egypt. And then there was this famine that lasted 7 years. So Jacob and all the whole group went down to Egypt, because Egypt had grain, because Joseph was managing the grain. And then the Pharaoh died, and another Pharaoh came along that didn't know Joseph. Then they enslaved them for 400 years. Okay, just to give you an idea, the Mayflower came to the U.S. about 400 years ago. That's how long they were enslaved. So you hear people, everybody in the world, every culture in the world has enslaved pretty much every other culture. But you see, hear people complaining about ancient slavery, Israel's the one that should complain, if anybody should. But the Philistines and all of the other inhabitants of that area, Canaan, came in while they were in slavery in Egypt. When God got them out of slavery, he told them, drive them out. Well, he didn't. They drove some of them out, but not all of them. And the Philistines were one that they didn't drive out. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, it's talking about David talking with his brothers. He's young David, a shepherd, talking with his brothers who are in the army set against the Philistines. And it says in verse 23, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. He was saying, you fight me. If you fight me and you win, we'll be your slaves. But if I win, you'll be our slaves. Well, David fought them and won, and they didn't become their slaves. They ran. But the Philistines are the ones who chased David and Saul all over for years and years and years. Okay, so why is Hamas so mad at Israel? It's the Philistine thing. Why were the Philistines mad at Israel? Same deal. Okay, they wanted them wiped out. If you look into the Word, you can understand what's going on. When I was at San Bernardino Valley College, I was a system manager for their PDP-11, which is a mini computer. A mini computer is two or three cabinets, a little bit bigger than this lectern. The things that we use today are called microcomputers, and this thing would be a mini micro computer. But I managed their PDP-11, so I spent a lot of time in the computer science lab. And this one gal came in who was a student there, who was from Jordan. And I was tutoring her and helping her with some of her, that was my job, tutoring, helping her with some of her classwork there. And we got to talking, and I said, so, are you single? Are you married? Well, yes and no. Well, no. Well, yes. Really? You don't know if you're married or not? Well, you wouldn't understand, she said. I said, try me. In the Middle East, there is a custom that you can see in the Bible, and we're going to look at it in Matthew chapter 1, if you want to turn there. There's a custom that you can see in the Bible. They often are betrothed at a very early age, 2, 3, 5, 6. And then when they're old enough to get married, then they have a marriage ceremony. And after this marriage ceremony, the couple each go back to their own houses. And the wife is allowed to use the husband's name for business only. And then after a time, in ancient Israel, it was determined by the priest, then they have a second ceremony. And after that, they go together to one parent's house and then the other, and they alternate between the parents' houses for a solid year. The Bible says, to cheer up the wife you've taken. And then after that ceremony, she uses her husband's name for everything. Just like married people today in our society generally, the woman uses her husband's name. You can see that here in Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now some people will translate that word betrothed. It's not our idea of betrothed. It's not quite our idea of espoused. But it says, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. That's in between the two marriage ceremonies. Before they came together. We get married, we go on a honeymoon. Immediately, that night of our wedding night, we spend together. They didn't. And apparently, a number of cultures in the Middle East still don't today. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 20, the angel talks to Joseph. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. In other words, don't be afraid to go through with the second ceremony and become husband and wife. You look into the Word, you can understand what's going on in the world. If you paid attention to the news at all lately, you've heard a lot about DEI. The problem with DEI, one of the main problems with DEI, there are a number of them, is that God does not deal with us as a group. I went to high school here in San Diego, Crawford High. And after high school, I went to a semester at Mesa College, which is right up there in Claremont, sort of up by where Al lives. And I hung out with a group that had all kinds of people in it. Well, one of the people was a gal named Leanne. She was 2 or 3 years older than me. I don't remember what she looks like, but I will never forget her. I was a choir director's kid. That's almost like being a preacher's kid. George Moore, choir director, First Presbyterian Church, Elwood City, Pennsylvania. I had to know all the arguments that were going on in the church, all the different nuances of the doctrines that were going on in the church, and who tapped into which doctrine, so that I could answer the person correctly so they wouldn't go tell my dad and I would get in trouble. I knew that God loved everybody. But Leanne taught me that God loves me. And that's very different. And you can see that, Romans 10. You probably all know this from heart. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thee and thou and thine are singular in Old English. And this is, I mean, the thee and thou doesn't come from the Greek. It comes from Old English, King James. You and your and ye are plural in Old English. If thou shalt confess with my, you personally, not the group. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 11 says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." He. Not you all. He. I should say this because, you know, 40 years ago it was understood. These days it might not be. In English, when you don't know the gender, the masculine form is used for the neuter. We don't have a neuter form that is a compliment to people. We have a neuter form, it's it. You wouldn't want to call a person it, and certainly not to his face. Okay? The neuter form for people in English is the masculine. If you use the feminine, it's a woman. If you don't know, you use the masculine. If you use the masculine and you're talking to somebody, he probably won't know whether it's a man or a woman. Now, all this feminist stuff about, oh, he or she, and da-da-da-da-da-da. No. No. They're not following English. So he that hath the Son, the person, not the group, hath life. And he that hath not the Son, the person, not the group, he that hath not the Son hath not life. If you don't have Holy Spirit Christ in you, you don't have spiritual life, you don't have everlasting life. Oh, you got physical life, you know, but you don't have spiritual life. Ephesians chapter 6. Something else in DEI. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." God doesn't care if you're a slave or a free man. He doesn't care if you're male or female. He doesn't care what race you are or what ethnicity you are. You receive the same stuff from the Lord if you do the same stuff. If you're born again, your race does not matter. Your gender does not matter. Doesn't matter. Okay. I do not believe that God found a place for you in the body of Christ. God did not make a place for you in the body of Christ. God made you to fill a particular place in the body of Christ. Think about it this way. A watchmaker does not go pick up a gear and say, "Oh, let me see if I can fit that into this watch." No. He has to have the gear that actually fits the spot he's trying to put the gear into. An engine mechanic doesn't pick up a piston or a rod or a crankshaft and say, "Oh, let me see if this will fit in this engine." No. He has to get the right one for that engine. Well, God is as smart as people. He had to get the right person to fill the spot that you fill. And how did he get that? We had to make one. There wasn't any. So he made you to fill that spot. Now, what does that mean? Well, it basically means you don't have to try to be somebody else. You don't have to try to be different. All you need to do is listen to God and do what God tells you. Whoever you are, whatever your personality might be, however your jokes work or whatever, you can be you. You're supposed to be you. You're not supposed to be anybody else. If you're trying to be somebody else, you're not going to fit your spot. And by the way, nobody else can fit your spot either, because you are unique. If you don't do your job, it doesn't get done. If you don't fill your spot, it doesn't get filled. So don't try to be somebody else. be yourself, but walk with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, you know, has an awful lot of things about the manifestations, but it also has some things about the body of Christ, and this is one of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." In particular. What does that mean? Well, in particular, and where did I get this? Out of the dictionary. It's not hard. In particular indicates that what you are saying applies especially to one thing or person. We are members in particular. We are each made by God to fill a particular spot. And the spot that you fill is not the spot that I fill. Some of the things we do may be similar, but we don't each fill the same spot. Okay, you're in 1 Corinthians 12. Go up to verse 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been all made to drink into one Spirit." Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, doesn't make any difference. Male, female, doesn't make any difference. Trying to find people who have the correct identity to fit your idea of what it should be is nuts. God doesn't do that. Verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many." Now look at verse 18. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." Don't try to go to a different place. Don't try to be somebody else. Be who you are. God made you to be who you are. Look at Romans 8. One of the main arguments in the Presbyterian Church when I was a kid was predestination. Oh, do you have freedom of will or don't you? Because there's predestination, don't you know? And some people said yes and some people said no, and I had to know who knew. Romans 8, verse 29. "For whom he," God, "did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." Did he predestinate you to do exactly what you did yesterday morning at 8 a.m.? No. He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the predestination. "That he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Yeah, that's why we call Jesus Christ our brother. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Predestinate is determined in advance. The outcome of the course of events is determined in advance by divine will or fate. That's according to the Oxford Dictionary. It's determined in advance. God determined in advance that you would be part of the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, he determined in advance exactly where you would fit in the body of Christ. Because like the watchmaker who has to make the gear that will work in the watch, he made you to fit spot. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the," and King James says, "adoption of children." The Greek word is huiothesia, means the placing as a son. Now, how do I know it's not adoption? Well, because you were born again, not adopted again. Okay? So you're a son of God by birth, or daughter by birth. having predestinated us unto sonship by Jesus Christ. Now, why is it sonship and not children? Why is it son and not children? Son is more able, stronger, adult. Child can be a little tiny kid. Well, okay, we need to have childlike believing, but we don't need to have childlike understanding. In malice be children, it says, but in understanding be men. Having predestinated us unto sonship by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, in whom also, look at verse 11, in whom also ye have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Don't try to change yourself. Just be who God made you to be. Okay, you do need to behave well. You know, if we look at Ephesians 4, flip over a chapter, in verse 29 it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We need to watch things. We need to, well, basically we need to walk in love. It says, be especially good to the household of faith in another place. Verse 32, well, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So all the hatred that's going on in the world, it's wrong. It doesn't matter who you're hating, it's wrong. And be ye kind one to another, verse 32, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. One place in the Word it says, be especially good to the household of faith. Of course. Alt and I have been run into people who talk about what constitutes a great marriage. Well, I'm sure a lot of different people have a lot of different ideas, but the thing that I have discovered is that you've got to be good to each other. It doesn't matter what you do, you got to be good to each other. It doesn't matter what the other person does especially, you got to be good to each other. If you're not good to each other, you're not going to have a good marriage. I don't care what you do. You don't have to be compatible. You don't have to fit together and like the same things and do the same things. Alf and I are so different in a lot of things, right down to the TV shows we like. So she wants to watch her shows. What do? I watch them. They're okay. They're not horrible. You know. But you'd be especially good to the household of faith. I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning because I have a 7 o'clock meeting with work every day. She doesn't get up anywhere near that early. Not a problem. Got to be good to each other. Well, we in the body of Christ need to be especially good to the household of faith. So, one other thing. Household of faith. Turn to Romans chapter 10. I hope I'm dispelling some myths today. There are a number of people that I've heard over the years tell me, oh, well, I don't really witness. I let my life be the witness. It never sat right with me. And here's why. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It does not say faith comes by watching somebody else in their Christian walk. It says faith comes by hearing. You want to bless somebody with the word? Open your mouth. Speak the word. Look into the Word. Get them to look into the Word. When we go to the Word, here I am teaching, okay? I'm trying to point you to the Word. The Word of God will point you to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will point you to God, His Father. That's the order of things. That's how it works. I didn't make it up. I got it from the Word. Well, I have it on my phone. But it comes from the Word of God. We didn't make it up. So, look into the Word. You can understand the world if you look into the Word. People are always wondering, well, why are all these people doing this? I hear it on the news all the time. Can you tell me why so-and-so did this and that and the other thing? Well, they don't know. They try to figure out some physical reason that they did that. And I'm sitting there going, I know. They have devil spirits in the rest. Why do they call evil good and good evil? Well, they have devil spirits in their brain. And what does the devil spirit do? He reroutes your thoughts. He gets into the synapses between the nerve cells in your brain and reroutes your thoughts. So that what is evil, you think is good. And what is good, you think is evil. That's why they have that. Look into the Word. You can understand the world if you look into the Word. We talked about fire escorts, which is a, what we call, used to call Orientalism. As a matter of fact, there's a book called Orientalisms of the Bible. You can read most about most of these in it. As a matter of fact, E.W. Bullinger wrote a lot about Orientalisms and a bunch of stuff. We talked about the marriage thing in the East, how it's different from ours. And if we went to the Middle East, we wouldn't expect it to be different because we looked into the Word. We talked about how DEI is absolutely wrong because it's group and God is personal. He doesn't look at you as a group, doesn't care about your gender, your age, your race, your none of that. And God did not find a place for you in the body of Christ. He made you for a specific place in the body of Christ. Just like a watchmaker doesn't pick any old gear and try to shove it into his watch. He needs the exact gear. So, that's what I wanted to teach this morning. I hope it blessed you all. And we pray that, just about every Sunday, that our fellowship will draw people closer to God, and I hope that's exactly what happened today. So, Father, thank you for the opportunity to teach today, and we ask that your blessing be upon all these people, and that they are drawn closer to you, and thank you for your word that we can look into and understand more about you and grow closer to you. So thank you for all that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Sweetie, you want to close? You want to close? You want to close?
Well, I think we do or we don't have refreshments. Yeah, okay. So thank you all for being here.